The year is 1877. The Dakota Territory is a grim and desolate place, but in the small town of Sweet Ravine, law and order rule. The keeper of that peace is the most feared gunslinger west of the Mississippi. Hold on to those 10-gallon hats as we present the adventures of Sheriff Rawhide Law. As the saying goes, make new friends, but keep the old. One is silver and the other gold. Seems to diminish the value of new people in your life, but there's no denying the advantage that people who've known each other for a long time might have in their interactions. They know when a jibe is going too far. They know if the other person does not eat a particular food if they can help it. Having a history together means, for better or for worse, knowing that person. And while that knowledge may not exactly be obfuscated in all cases, it's nonetheless not common knowledge, which is functionally the same as a secret.
Staying in, Slim? Staying in reason. Gutsy. Sam, I believe it's to you.
Call it.
Just like that?
He's bluffing, Caleb.
You're sure? All he needs is a heart and he's got a flush.
Except Slim ain't got no heart.
Seems a little cold to say about your best friend. All right, then, you say he's bluffing.
I do. I've known Slim more than half my life, and I can tell. Maybe he's got a pair there, but it won't beat what I got.
Okay, then. Call.
I wasn't bluffing, Caleb. I got two pair, Jackson 5s.
No, I knew that, Sam. Three of a kind, 10s.
What?
I wasn't sure I could beat Slim's hand, but you were. And since I was sure that I could beat your hand...
Then by the transitive property of poker hands, you had the pot locked up.
Now, what does that big railway have to do with a hand of poker?
You're thinking of transcontinental, and the answer is not a thing. Jody, you feeling all right?
Yes, I'm fine. Just got this weird feeling at the nape of my neck. Normally means a storm's brewing, but the sky's as blue as a cornflower.
Well, that sounds embouchure.
How many beers have you had so far, Sam?
I think 6.
So it takes 6 beers to get from ominous to embouchure.
Good to know.
No knowledge is useless, though this is perhaps bordering on it.
Hey, y'all, was the stage supposed to come by today?
Not today. Not till next week, I thought.
Well, then, looks like we got a private coach coming in.
Private coach?
Yep, they're almost here. I guess I better go give them a greeting and see if they need a hand or... Oh, dear.
That is the right phrase, Kitty.
What's going on?
Oh, turns out I was right about that storm rolling into town.
Caleb, sugar, are you ready for the wedding? I can't believe y'all didn't get one single one of my letters.
You can be fully assured that had a letter come from you addressed to my husband, Annalee, I most certainly would have remembered it.
Now that's just disappointing. I swear I sent at least a dozen letters. I suppose mail just isn't very reliable here in the Wyoming Territory.
Wyoming Territory? Beloved, have you been sending all those letters to the Wyoming Territory?
Why ever not?
There was a good chunk of the Dakota Territory which broke off into Wyoming. That was, however, considerably east of Sweet Ravine and also a little less than 10 years ago.
Oh, I swear I would have laid money on this town being in Wyoming. Jonah, I am so sorry.
It's certainly regrettable that we wasted so much on postage, but I suppose there's nothing to be done about it.
Oh, thank you, Jonah. I suppose what's done is done. But to start all the planning right now? Caleb, sugar, I was hoping you'd be kind enough to walk me down the aisle.
Suppose?
Oh, don't look so surprised. You're the reason I came all this way. Daddy's been in the ground for a month of forevers, and all those years on the road? Well, you're just about the closest thing I have to a brother.
I, for one, am happy to hear that the time you two spent together was regarded as brotherly.
Well, if my wife is all right with it, then I will, of course, be happy to oblige. Now, do you want me to go get Slim right now, or when do you want to get this shindig started?
Beloved, I'm sorry, but I believe I'll have to put my foot down here. I don't care how much you had your heart settled on this town. I'm not entering into the holy state of matrimony with you under the guidance of the Right Reverend Slim.
Oh, Honey Bear, no.
Slim is our justice of the peace.
Jonah and I were planning for a church wedding. I was hoping we'd have all that arranged, but I guess that should be our next stop. And then, well, do you think Jody would be willing to cook up something for afterwards? And then, of course, I'll need a new dress.
Why, of course. You have dresses. Beautiful dresses. Do we really need to indulge in this kind of vanity?
Now, Jonah Salem, you can stop being quite so high and mighty if you please. As though you didn't meet the woman you're about to marry in a card game. A woman only gets married once in her life, and I'm not going to feel even a little guilty for indulging in a little dress shopping. Besides, I'm looking forward to meeting the young lady who runs that place. She's got such a pretty little voice, I do declare.
Papa!
Ruthie Salem, you know better than to come bursting into a room like a tornado when adults are having a civilized conversation.
Henry says he might have to put Silvertail down!
What? All that horse needs is a new shoe.
It's what he said!
And were you pestering him about whether Silvertail was all right, little darling?
I was just asking him!
Over and over and over, until you drove the poor man to distraction, I'm sure. He got tired of your constant needling and told you that hogwash to get you out of his hair. Now, aren't you supposed to be with your sister?
She wasn't feeling good. She had to lie down.
Well, she wasn't feeling well. Just because you're not in school at the moment.
Jonah, please. Mary wasn't looking her best in the coach. We should go check on her.
You'll be heading right by Doc Malone's office on your way to Jody's. He's young, but don't let that bother you. He knows his trade.
Oh, I remember him. Thank you, Alex. And Caleb, I appreciate all the help you're giving us, sugar. Honey Bear, we should go.
I caught a couple of things that were wrong with that. You?
Maybe a handful more.
So, sweetie pie, what in tarnation is going on?
What did you notice about Jonah?
Do you mean aside from him being the last man on earth I think would partner up with her?
Yes.
He doesn't trust her. Nor you, nor me. I'm not entirely sure how far you'd have to travel to find someone who has his trust. But it's outside the town limits, I can tell you that much.
I think he suspects she's playing him.
Is she?
I think so. Honey Bear was the name she used for any gentleman who warranted her special attention owing to the size of his pocketbook. It meant she didn't have to keep remembering different names.
I have a problem with this.
Just the one?
If the plan is to abscond with his money, why come here? I promise you, when we last talked, she could not have been under the impression I would be sympathetic to such a concept. There's got to be more to this. I sort of expected she'd drop a note off in your pocket when she kissed your cheek.
And thank you for not shooting her.
You owe me. But the point is, she couldn't have done anything like that since he was watching her every move.
That's probably a big part of the reason she brought him here. He's clearly a man used to being in control, and she wanted him in a place where that control is limited.
So, she really wouldn't want you walking her down the aisle?
That's the most believable part of the story, to be honest. Her father isn't dead, at least not last I'd heard of it. She just hates him. A lot. No, the part that puzzles me is Doc Malone.
Exactly. Silas wasn't in town yet when Annalee last showed up. Why say she remembers him? It's a weird thing to lie about.
Which might be the point.
Meaning?
Once the good doctor has had a chance to look over Miss Mary, maybe you should have a word with him.
Come in.
Oh, hi there, sir.
Pipsqueak. Doctor.
Afternoon, Sheriff. Are you here for me or Kitty?
For you, Doctor. But I'm not in need of any medicine. I had some questions about Miss Mary Salem. I understand you saw to her just a little while ago.
I did.
Is she going to be all right?
Her symptoms will pass pretty soon. She'll be feeling better in a while.
If you ask me, that woman needs a little bit of sunshine. I can't believe how pale she was when she came down from that carriage.
Is that your professional opinion, Silas? Some fresh air and time out of doors all she needs?
Why are you asking?
Why are you hesitating to answer?
Because it's honestly none of your business. If you came in here with a bunion, you wouldn't want me sharing that with anyone who bothered to ask.
I ain't just asking out of idle curiosity, Dr. Malone. This whole wedding with the Salems and Annalise stinks to high heaven, and I think it might be down to whatever's happening to Miss Mary.
What is happening to Miss Mary is nothing to do with any crime. I can tell you that much.
You're sure about that?
I'm positive. I asked to make sure, as a matter of fact.
Silas, if there's something Alex needs to know...
Then I can't be the one to tell her, Kitty. I'm sorry, but that's how it has to be.
I suppose there's nothing more to be said, then. Afternoon.
Sir!
Yes, Deputy Pipsqueak? How may I help you?
Look, sir, Silas is only doing what he thinks is right.
I know that.
There's things he does I don't always understand, but it's part of what being a doctor is to him.
I know that as well.
Sir, I just don't want you to...
Pipsqueak, are you under the impression that I'm upset with your husband-to-be?
Well, you do have a certain look on your face like you want to shoot someone. Several times.
Annalee Garrett is in town. Of course I look like that. Now, let's set the record straight, if you please. Silas is a man of principles, and when a man is like that, asking him to go against those principles is like yelling at a mountain for being too tall. It may not be especially convenient, but it is the way things are, and to a certain extent the way they ought to be. If I'm a little put out by it, I have no one but myself to blame.
I'm sorry he didn't tell you anything.
Oh, he told me plenty, Pipsqueak. He told me plenty.
What?
He asked. He knew there had been no crime committed because he asked. There's a finite number of things which would make a doctor need to ask that sort of question. And he did. If that doesn't point me in the right direction, I really shouldn't be walking around with this little tin star on my chest.
Do we need to slow down, Mary?
We're not doing anything more than walking up and back this street, Henry. If you can even call this a street in a town this small. I can manage.
If you need to lean on me, it's all right.
That would be nice, to tell you the truth.
Mary, I...
Thank you so much, Reverend. We appreciate the help and we'll see you tomorrow bright and early.
So, what is this then?
The doctor said a bit of walking would probably help Miss Mary.
Henry's just here with me to make sure I'm all right. Besides, it's a strange town, and I don't know anyone, so...
Well, thank you for that, Henry. I believe I can take it from here.
Yes, Mr. Salem.
I don't believe we've been introduced, young man. Henry, was it?
Me? Yes, ma'am. Henry Appleton. No reason we should have been introduced. I'm just a hired hand.
Did you hear that, sweetie pie? Just a hired hand. Well, in that case, I'm Alex Rawhide Law. Just a sheriff.
Caleb Law. Just a gambler.
You know, as I think on it, I've been hired by the town of Sweet Ravine. I suppose a person could say that I, too, am just a hired hand.
Well, a person could. Not me, of course.
Well, no. But you're my husband. No, if a person who didn't know me were to call me a hired hand, I don't reckon as I'd complain about it.
And if enough people called you that...
Or just a few people did it enough times...
Yeah, that's when that other word pops up.
Just a hired hand.
Nothing more than that. Just that.
Only that.
And if it gets repeated often enough...
I might start to think of myself that way. And only that way.
What is this?
You don't play cards, do you, Henry Appleton? Or if you do, you never win.
No, I don't.
No, that's pretty clear. Have you ever watched your boss man play cards?
A time or two. Yeah.
If I had to guess, he's the kind of man who almost never bluffs. But he also has a good sense of when other people do. Am I right?
Yeah. Well, except with Miss Garrett there.
Yes, well, she tends to have that effect.
In any case, Jonah Salem is the sort of man who notices things. Things like the way Mary Salem was looking at you and... the way you were looking at her.
Oh, no, just wait a minute, folks. I don't think...
You don't have feelings for Miss Mary? No one said you did.
Of course not, Henry Appleton. You are just a hired hand, after all. Who ever heard of a hired hand with feelings?
And that hand goes to you, Alex. I do declare I never knew you even played.
Special occasions only. And one final poker game as an unmarried couple seems sufficiently special.
You want another whiskey, Anna Lee?
Thank you, Jody. You are too kind.
I believe you've had enough, Anna Lee.
And when you are my husband tomorrow, you're allowed to tell me so. But for now, Honey Bear, I'm following an old family tradition. My mother was drunk the night before her wedding, and my grandmother almost didn't wake up for her. She was so far gone. Woof!
Another?
One more, I think, but take your time with it.
As the bride saith, so shall it be.
Another hand, friend.
You bet, Caleb. I always do well at a table with Miss Anna Lee.
Only when she's dealing, Sam. Darling?
You've got a lot of nerve calling me darling after dealing me cards like this. I fold.
Mrs. Salem?
Raise 10.
10 to you, Anna Lee.
Well, I confess that whiskey is hitting me pretty hard just now. Let me just fold and rest my eyes for a while.
Of course. Slim, would you... No, I suppose not. You know, throwing your cards like that doesn't mean you're somehow folding harder. Sam, you calling a raisin?
Call.
As will I. Mr. Salem, how many cards would you like?
None.
Mr. Salem stands pat. Sam, would you...
You misunderstand. Mr. Law, my fiancé has just gone to sleep, so I can consider myself done with this game, and good riddance.
Well, that all seemed perfectly reasonable, up until the last sentence, anyway.
You want me to pretend I won't be glad to be out of this hayseed town as soon as possible?
Not especially, but you know what they say. If you can't say something nice...
I'm going to take my woman upstairs to her bed. Is there perhaps someone who might be able to assist?
I'd be happy to.
Not you. I've seen how you've been looking at her all evening. She wants you to give her away tomorrow. That's just fine. But I'm not letting you think I'm an idiot and I don't know what's going on.
Mr. Salem, I hope you're not insinuating, in front of my wife, no less,
that there is something going on between myself and the lovely Miss Garrett.
I'm doing more than insinuating.
Feller, you might want to watch yourself.
Shut your mouth.
All right, I tried.
Let's all relax. Mr. Salem has had a few drinks himself trying to keep pace with Anna Lee. Apparently, he's one of those mean drunks you hear tell of now and then. Now, if you will just allow me to help you take her upstairs, I'm sure you'll see.
I said stay away from her!
I am not in the habit of firing warning shots at a man who takes a swing at my husband. You may consider yourself very fortunate that you are the father of two young ladies, Jonas Salem. If it wasn't for them, you'd be heading for a burial in my little hayseed town. Now get walking. You're spending a night in a jail cell. Very romantic before your wedding, wouldn't you say? You all right, sugar?
I'm fine. Starting to lose track of the time some man has punched me in the face because of you, but I'm fine. Slim, go with Anna Lee. You've got some business to get down to.
I knew you'd figure it out.
Hold on a second. I think I missed a step.
Sam, I'm not sure you even knew there were steps.
Don't you fret about it, sugar. I'll tell you all about it a little later. Don't think I'm blaming you, Jonah. I don't know what it must have been like to raise two little girls after your wife passed away. Truth is, though, you were holding on too tight. You hardly ever let poor Mary leave the house. It was sad, but it wasn't really my business. You and I had had our fun, and I was fixing to be on my way when I figured out there was a baby coming. I knew you'd figure that out too, a hawk like you. That's why I said yes when you proposed, even though you knew I didn't want it, and neither did you. Don't argue with me, sugar. You know as well as I you didn't want to keep me. You just didn't want to not have me. That's very different. So I brought you here to give them a chance to have you where you couldn't be, well, the Jonah Salem we all know you are. Anyway, I know you don't think much of Henry Appleton, but believe me, there are a lot worse places for a lonely girl to go to than into the arms of a poor man who loves her. She's of age, Slim did his job, and they're married now. Nothing you can do about it. I would start thinking about what's next for you. Do you want to be a father and a grandfather with a good man as a son-in-law? Then stick around and let them know. Otherwise, you can ride out in the morning. Maybe you'll have learned a thing or two, and things will turn out better with Ruthie. Anyway, I'll leave you to make that decision. I'm sorry you have to do that behind a set of bars, sugar, but it was the only way.
Ahem.
You are no fun at all, Alex.
Never forget it.
Fine. Here is your ring back, Honey Bear.
Everything end up all right?
It ended. How are Henry and Mary?
Tears. Lots of them. Both happy and sad.
There's a farmer I know who might have work for Henry if they want to stay hereabouts.
He's happy to do just about anything. And Mary's got more than her fair share of schooling. I heard a rumor that your doctor is looking for a nurse. He could do worse.
Maybe we let her actually have the baby first.
And how about you, Anna Lee? Off to the next poker table where the wallets are fat and the men are gullible?
Now, sugar, who said anything about me going anywhere at all?
They say nothing in the world makes you feel better than seeing a long-lost friend. They also say that fish and visitors stink after 3 days. Are one or both of these statements true? Find out next time in the adventures of Sheriff Rawhide Law. You have been listening to Rawhide Law, Episode 14, produced by Seat of Our Pants Players. Written and directed by Dan Wenzel. Alex was Jill Wenzel. Caleb was Dan Wenzel. Sam was Rick Tennant. Jody was Liz Music. Kitty was Brianna Kuby. Anna Lee was Rebecca Scheimer. Jonah was Andrew Dell. Ruth was Morgan Gastengee. Silas was Aaron Manka White. Henry was Adam Gastengee. And Mary was Andy Gastengee. Cowboy Sting and Fig Leaf Times 2 by Kevin MacLeod at Incompetech.com, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Other music and sound effects by www.freesfx.co.uk. Thanks for listening, partners. We'll see you next time.
Hello out there in Podcastia. Before you click off of this episode, please head on over to patreon.com/seatofourpantsplayers. Take a look at all of the offerings we have there, and if you're already supporting us on patreon.com/seatofourpantsplayers, thank you. Sincerely, you make a world of difference to us.